Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's talk.
The Drive.
The best show in town.
On KFH.
I'll enjoy that voice. Merle Haggard week on the show. This is Footlights. Thanks to Bob and Luigi's in Bel Air for sponsoring our music. Barry Trammell joins us from the Daily Oklahoman. Barry, I have you pegged as a Merle Haggard guy. Am I in the ballpark?
You're in the ballpark, Bob. I actually can't stand most country music, but I like Merle Haggard. And you know what's cool is I've actually become friends with the pastor of the Baptist Church in Bakersfield, who conducted the funeral service for Merle Haggard. He's an Okie who went out there 30-something years ago to Bakersfield and built a big church. So that's sort of a cool connection I have.
That's interesting. Wow, that's quite a story, Barry. Yeah. We got Wichita State playing at OU on Saturday. It's early in the basketball season. You've been covering a lot of football, a lot of Oklahoma City Thunder, so I don't know how much your finger is on the pulse of OU basketball, but they're 7-1. They knocked off Notre Dame the other night. They've beaten Florida, only losses to Wisconsin. This is a team not thought to be a contender in the Big 12. Has anything early on caught your attention with OU?
Yeah, they're much better than I thought they were. They shoot the ball really well. They got four or five guys that can really shoot it, and they rebound pretty good. They beat Notre Dame the other night without their center. Jermaine McNeese was hurt, and they managed to beat the Irish in New York, and McNeese is a really solid player, so I thought that was a good win. They've got two graduate transfers that are playing a lot. One of them is the point guard, Aaron Calixte. He's from Maine, played at the University of Maine. Sometimes I think he still thinks he's in New England with some of the turnovers he makes. People in this part of the country are going to tear him up if he plays careless like that. But he's been nice in a lot of other ways. So they got a much better team than I thought. You know, they were picked eighth in the Big 12. But it looks to me like they're going to beat that. If they look to me like fourth or fifth, which would make them an NCAA tournament team.
Well, I don't know if you followed Wichita State much at all, but obviously with the game on Saturday, OU's favored in that one. What are you looking at in that game? You think it should be tight? It's only a 5-point spread, but what are you looking at on Saturday?
Well, I know the Shockers are down this year, sort of a rebuilding season, which frankly we're not used to. I mean, we're used to, you know, Wichita State being an elite team every year, but it happens to the best of teams. I know this. I know the culture that Greg Marshall has built. So even when he doesn't have the talent that he's been accustomed to having, or maybe the experience, they're going to play the right way, and they're going to go all out defending you. And if they're not, you know, Greg Marshall have a coronary or something. So I mean, they're going to be ready to play. But it's sort of a bad draw for Wichita in that. They generally have a really good team, and this year looks like when they come to Oklahoma, the talent discrepancy may be just a little one-sided, because like I said, the Sooners have a bunch of shooters.
Barry Trammell with us, sports columnist for the Daily Oklahoman. Of course, OU football first and foremost on his mind and everybody's mind down in Oklahoma. They are in the college football playoff, Barry. How did you view that? Do you think that OU is worthy of its spot in the college football playoff? There's some debate. Where do you fall on that, and do you think four teams is enough?
Well, four teams is plenty for me, crying out loud. I think four is fine. I thought OU or Ohio State, either one, was a solid choice. If they'd have picked Ohio State, you know, everybody down here would be upset, but I could certainly understand it. I think Oklahoma had a slightly better resume, but Ohio State had the much better win, beating Michigan. Of course, Ohio State had the worst loss, getting blown out by Purdue. So you can go back and forth. Either one of those teams, a 12-1 champion of the Big 12 or the Big 10, you know, there's not a dime's worth of difference.
And in your estimation, Georgia shouldn't even have been in the debate.
I thought it was absurd, this idea that this train got rolling. People saying, well, Georgia's the fourth best team. And the evidence of that is what? Your eyeballs? Here's what I know about Georgia. They play two really good teams, two elite teams. They got beat 33-13 by one of them. And the other one, they played magnificently. And then when they were on the brink of victory, they puked down their leg. I've seen few teams choke like Georgia did the other day. They give up a 14-point lead. They get beat by a backup quarterback. They get so desperate, they fake a punt on 4th and 11. Hey, Bob, I don't know a lot about football.
That was a shocker.
That was a shocker.
The schemes, the strategies, I don't claim to know much. But I can do the math on 4th and 11 fake punts. Don't fake punts on 4th and 11.
No, you're not. The chances of making that work against Alabama are zero.
Well, especially when Alabama kept their defense on the field.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. To me, that was just a sign of Georgia just being desperate. So here's the deal. A lot of this is just hype. College football is afflicted by an 80-year tradition of judging. In a lot of ways, it's no better than gymnastics. Somebody watches the game and then decides who is best. So the playoff helps in some ways with that, but we still cling to this idea that, hey, in our minds, we can pick who's better rather than let results decide. If we'd have made a rule that said only conference champions are in the 14 playoff, everybody would have been much better off, except for the SEC. Now, I don't blame them. They politicked to not have that rule. They carried the day. Last year, they got two teams in. This year, they thought, well, let's do it again. Let's mount the campaign. Maybe we'll get lucky. Didn't carry the day. I in no way see how anybody could argue for Georgia just because you watch a game and you like their defensive tackles.
Well, OU, Alabama's must-see television. Jason?
Yeah, and that's where I'm going with this. Oklahoma, Alabama favored by 14, which I think is too many just because of the offense Kyler Murray brings in Oklahoma. What do you think of that game, and what do you think they got to do besides their defense show up and make a few stops for them?
Well, I mean, Alabama's going to score. There's no chance they don't score in the 30s. And they might, they're likely to score in the 40s, talking about Alabama, and they could score in the 50s. So Oklahoma's got to stay with them. You got to make a bunch of birdies. College football has become a golf tournament on an easy course. You make a par, you're behind the eight ball.
I hope you've written that, Barry, because if you haven't, I'm stealing it tomorrow.
Well, it's really a case of, You can't win games 24-17 anymore. Can't do it. I mean, Oklahoma, just down the stretch, heck, the last 7 weeks of the season, the most, until the Big 12 title game, it was a semi-normal game, 39-27. The Selman brothers, you know, would be aghast at playing in a 39-27 game. But it seemed almost normal. But before that, the best defensive game I covered the last 7 weeks, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, was 38-35, OSU beat Texas. I saw 59-56, 48-47, 51-46. And, just week after week after week of that kind of football. And, frankly, it's getting that way in other conferences. You know, on Championship Saturday, Big 12 was right in the middle. The SEC game scored 63 combined points. The Big 10 scored 69 combined points. Big 12 was 66 combined points. That's just what people are playing these days. Yeah. And Oklahoma's on the extreme because their defense is so bad and their offense is so good that, you see a 59-56 game like I covered in Morgantown. But that's what they're going to have to do in the Orange Bowl. They can't beat Alabama 28-27. They got no chance. They got to beat them 48-45.
Barry Trammell with us from the Daily Oklahoman. I thought Alabama did a couple of favors for Oklahoma the other day. First, they came back and beat Georgia, which solidified OU in the college football playoff. Second, they had to pull Tua to go to Jalen Hurts to pull that game out. I think that solidified Kyler Murray being the Heisman winner. Do you agree? And tell us a little bit about Kyler Murray. We know he's under contract with the Oakland A's. But there's some talk now that he might reconsider and stick with football. Where do you think he's headed?
Well, let me ask you guys. You guys are, unbiased observers. You really think Kyler's going to win? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm asking.
I think Kyler Murray will win in one of the closest Heisman votes ever.
I think after this last weekend, I think I'm the same with Bob. With Tua going out.
I voted for him.
I think Kyler Murray. I do.
Everybody down here thinks that's going to go, and when you watch the national shows, that's the way it goes. The USA Today polls, the Las Vegas odds, everybody's on the Kyler bandwagon, but I'm a little skeptical that a guy could make up that much ground in 1 week. I guess I'm just used to sort of the slog mentality of Heisman voters that they decide, October 10th who they're going to vote for, and they never get off ground zero. But you could be right. I hope you are. It'd be fantastic if Oklahoma had another one. He's an incredible player. He's got an offense better than Baker Mayfield's offense. And frankly, he played better this season than Baker played last year, which I didn't think was possible. But he's virtually as good a passer. And, he runs like Michael Vick. He's a 4.3 sprinter, and he just runs away from people. And it's a phenomenal combination.
Well,
What's he going to do? I think he's going to go play baseball, even though his football stock has soared through the stratosphere. I think he would be a first-round draft pick. Lamar Jackson was a first-round draft pick. Kyler Murray is not as big as Lamar Jackson, but let me tell you what. Kyler Murray throws better left-handed than Lamar Jackson does right-handed. So there's a place in the NFL for Kyler Murray, but there's two words that will keep Kyler Murray from going to the NFL next season. Scott Boras.
Yeah, he's going to get he's in good hands with Scott Boras. Hey,
Scott Boras is serious business. We think this football thing's all, it's a big deal and everybody's serious. You don't know serious until you've done business with Scott Boras. Scott Boras promised the Oakland A's gave Kyler Murray a fabulous deal. They gave him a big bonus. They made him a first-round draft pick. And they let him come and play college football. And now people are saying Kyler Murray might renege on that deal over Scott Boras' dead body, let me promise you, when he's going to get out of that deal. So Scott Boras is serious business in sports. So that's why 3 years from now, if Kyler Murray stuck at AA, can't hit a curveball, sure. Call the Miami Dolphins and say, hey, you want a quarterback that can run and throw? How about me? And he'll get a chance if that's what he wants to do.
Listening to the baseball people, I don't think he's going to get stuck. That's my opinion. Jason?
No, but real quick, do you think that anybody's going to draft him, even if he says that he's going to play baseball? Do you think anybody takes a flyer in the fourth, fifth, sixth round and just to hold on to him?
I think he'll go late. Now, I don't even know the rules. Somebody told me that if you draft a guy and he doesn't report even to camp or sign with you, you lose his rights the next year. I don't know if that's true or not. I need to check it out. But either way, somebody will take a flyer on him sixth round. I don't know about fourth round. You can find real ball players in the fourth round. But sixth round, I think they will. I don't know why somebody wouldn't draft him and sign him and say, hey, give you $1 million or $2, just, chump change for the next 3 years, and he doesn't even have to report. But then in 3 years, if he wants to all of a sudden show up and play, have a prorated salary, and that way you'd at least have a quarterback prospect. So it seemed like somebody could do that. He's good enough. He's good enough, though. That somebody needs to. Somebody will give him a chance and say, "Hey, come try out."
All right. Last question. Talking with Barry Trammell from the Daily Oklahoman. Les Miles, a new football coach at KU. You've had experiences with him during his time at Oklahoma State. Did they hit a home run, or do we have to wait a while to see how this thing shakes out?
Well, I mean, Les is a good coach, and he'll get them lined up straight. But Kansas's problem's not been coaching. KU hasn't committed to football the way the other nine schools in the league has. So, you know, if they got Newt Rockne or Nick Saban coaching in Lawrence, until they get big-time commitments and resources dedicated to football, it's not going to change significantly. Like I said, Les is a good coach. They'll probably improve. But I don't see how Kansas football is going to rise. 10 years ago, everybody in the league got serious about football. You see all these magnificent facilities go up everywhere except Lawrence. And you see what's happened in the last 10 years.
And finally, what about Seth Luttrell? You've had experience with him as well. He's an Oklahoman. He's getting a lot of run as potentially at least one of the candidates at K-State. Makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does. He's a good he's a good solid coach now. I don't know that he runs an offense anything close to Bill. So, you know, I don't know. The transition might be rough. That'd be my only concern. I don't know what K-State wants. Do they want a clean break, or do they want to try to keep doing some of the same offensive stuff? They want a clean break. Seth Luttrell, I thought he might get the Tech job. I don't know what happened there. But Seth Luttrell is, I think, very solid. He's a solid guy and a solid coach.
All right, Barry, it's always good to catch up with you. Thanks for your time. So much more I could ask you about. I want to talk to you about the Pacific Coast League someday because Wichita's in that league, too.
Wichita's are joining in, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk to you down the road about some of that stuff.
Right, that'll be great, Bob.
All right, thanks, Barry. Barry Trammell from the Daily Oklahoman. We'll take a break, and we'll return and talk some fantasy football with Virgil Ballard. Big games coming up this week.
Huge.
I play Jeff. You play Adrian Stiverson, who's already reached out to me and wants a piece of you in this game.
Fair enough.
Wants to take you down.
Bring
man.
It on. Let's go.
Back in a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.